these allegations of terrorism just make it an uphill battle for Uyghur organizations or any organization attempting to do advocacy. Additionally, though, I would say not only terrorism, but the specter of independence. So, first of all, and that presents itself in two ways. First, there is a misconception, and I see this in media and in some books, some academic books, that the Uyghurs inside China are seeking independence. And I don't think that's, I don't know if that's true. I don't think it's true. I don't think they are seeking independence actively. And I don't know if all Uyghurs in China want independence. It's something that we simply can't know under the current circumstances. And so I think it's wrong to present Uyghur causes as an independence movement. It's not accurate. Moreover, even if it turns out that Uyghurs do, all Uyghurs or most Uyghurs do want independence, which is not necessarily an irrational decision, even if that were the case, independence is not a dirty word, or it shouldn't be. The Scots can have this discussion. It's just much harder for Uyghurs to do that. It's just simply not a conversation that they can have, in part because of PRC spin on this, and in part, I think, because the West has bought some of that spin. Uyghurs, Muslims, terrorist attacks, independence becomes a dirty word, even though international law is a bit fuzzy on the area, but it's not a crime. So that's one challenge. A second challenge is, of course, Uyghurs are Muslim. And so, unfortunately, in our post-9/11 world, it's an uphill battle. And I think some conversation about strategies to address this would be useful. I think some Uyghurs have responded by stressing that Uyghurs inside Xinjiang are moderate Muslims. And I understand that strategy because moderate signals, sends a certain signal to policymakers. At the same time, I sometimes wonder if by qualifying Islam, we are Muslims but ... or we are Muslims but we are moderate, I wonder if that can perpetuate stereotypes about Islam as an extreme religion that needs to be qualified and explained. So that's my very quick rundown of some of the challenges facing advocacy and research on Xinjiang. I think the foundation, we have a good foundation, but our community is small and there's a lot of work to be done. So that takes me to my conclusion, which I hope gets at some of the opportunities that I mentioned in my title. So what can we do? So first, thinking specifically about research, I would suggest creative thinking about topics and sources. There's a lot we can't do, so let's think about what we can. Collaboration where we can. More efforts to translate great works of scholarship. There are scholars in Japan doing great work on Xinjiang, great field work, and some of it's in Japanese and has not been translated. So just thinking about ways to get more out there. Also, thinking about what smart scholars with limited language skills, not limited, but scholars with, say, only Chinese or scholars with only English can do. There's a lot of sources that await someone to just sit down and chunk through the data, whether it's a Xinjiang yearbook or legal sources. So there's a lot out there that remains to be touched that can be done sitting behind a computer. I would also suggest creative thinking about meetings like this one. So this brings together a lot of group of people. What are some of the things we could do at a second international conference on Uyghur studies? Perhaps it could be workshops on engaging with the media, a workshop bringing scholars of terrorism to the table to talk about strategies and insights that we could all bring to this topic. A translation workshop where we work on bringing certain works of scholarship into English or Uyghur or Russian. There are a lot of possibilities for a conference that brings together people from all over the world. My third suggestion of 2 minutes. Okay, I can do this. Third suggestion. With some caution, I would say thinking not beyond human rights, but thinking in addition to human rights about other types of frameworks or discourses that can help bring meaningful, hopefully, changes and improvements to human rights conditions in China. I would suggest caution. I wouldn't suggest we abandon human rights discourse, but think about other ways we can talk about issues affecting Uyghurs. It could be human security, which is a framework that's developed through the UN since the 1990s. And finally, I would suggest thinking about creative ways, doing what we can to help promote human rights here and now in diaspora. So more efforts, for example, to preserve Uyghur sources inside Xinjiang, but in Central Asia, collecting books, cataloging them, creating something like the Lhasa Library for Tibetan sources or the Yiddish Book Center, which catalogs a lot of old, otherwise books that would have been discarded that help preserve the language used by Jews in Europe. So there are several models to work and I think to use, and so I think creative thinking about what we can do with the resources we have would be a benefit to the benefit to the cause. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed.
Well, I think that's certainly given us all quite a lot to think about. Whether we can all do that within the next 12 months, I'm perhaps not sure, but some of it sometime.